Come on in, sit back and relax. You're listening to episode 233 of the Wealth Tech Today podcast. And I'm your host, Craig Iskowitz, founder of Ezra Group Consulting. And as you know, this podcast features interviews, news, and analysis on the trends and best practices all around wealth management technology. Now, my guest for this episode was Ryan Eisenman, CEO and co-founder of Arch.co. Now, Arch.co is a platform for managing alternative investments. It was launched by co-founders Ryan Eisenman, Joel Stein, and Jason Trigg. And I spoke with Ryan about a couple of things that I thought were very interesting about the platform at Arch.co. Number one was pain points that financial advisors have with investing in alternatives. We spoke about their schedule of investment PE look-through tool, which I thought was very useful for firms that invest in PE funds, their AI powered portfolio analysis tool, and their capital call workflow engine. So all great ideas and great technology that are being brought to advisors by Arch.co. So we're going to get into all the details, and I'll kick off the interview in just a second. But before we get started, let's talk about tech stacks. Now, we've seen here at Ezra Group tech stacks of hundreds of RIAs and broker-dealers, and let me tell you, most of them are loaded down with tech debt. And let's face it, tech debt can act like an anchor, holding back your RIA's efficiency and your ability to scale. Now, if you want to free your firm for exponential growth, you need to run, not walk, to our website, ezragroup.com, and click the golden Contact Us button on the homepage. It's golden. It sparkles. You must click it. Now, the experienced team at Ezra Group can evaluate your current tech ecosystem, deliver targeted recommendations, optimize your existing systems and operations, or even run an RFP and help you implement new software to get your firm to the next level. You can take advantage of our free initial consultation by going to ezragroup.com. Now, a couple of quick housekeeping items. Please click the subscribe button wherever you are listening to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. And please check out one of our charitable sponsors, the Invest in Others Charitable Foundation, which you can find at investinothers.org. And now, let's kick this thing off. All right, I'm excited to introduce our next guest. It's Ryan Eisenman, co-founder and CEO of Arch. Ryan, welcome, man.
Thank you. Great to be here. Craig, thanks for having me.
I'm glad we could squeeze you in. I know you got a very busy schedule there, as do I. Where are you calling in from?
Calling in from Flatiron in Manhattan, New York City.
All right. We're so close, yet so far. I'm over just across the way in New Jersey here. I'm glad you could get into the program here and in this dreary weather we're having in the Northeast. And on the podcast, everything is happy and sunny all the time. So could you please give us a 30-second elevator pitch for Arch?
Yes, Arch is a digital platform for managing private and alternative investments. We help our 225 clients who are family offices, investment advisors, RIAs, private banks, and institutions collect all their information across all their different private investments, visualize it and standardize it in a single platform, and then produce insights off of that information so that they can make stronger decisions.
Alternative investments is such a big trend now. We're seeing so many platforms and marketplaces come out. So let's talk about some of the interesting technology you guys have built that I think seem to differentiate you from some of the other platforms. One of the things you have is a schedule of investments look-through tool. Why is that important and how did you build that?
Yeah, so Arch is built on this idea that today, most asset managers, the Blackstones, the KKRs, the Sequoias of the world, all report in PDFs. So you get unstructured data that is coming to you in a document that you need to read. There's a lot of information in that document that are really helpful for investors to understand. And a lot of these funds send their schedule of investment saying, hey, we have invested in Stripe and SpaceX and Rippling and other types of private companies. So when you own a fund investment, you don't just own the fund, you own all the underlying investments within the fund. Then there's this element of if you invest in multiple funds, you may have overlap. So you may actually, without knowing it, have a very large position in something like a SpaceX where that may inform future decisions you want to make. There could be correlation between funds you want to be aware of. And as you think about managing a large, complex portfolio, understanding the component pieces can shape future decisions and help you make decisions on how to manage your existing portfolio. So we've been investing in this tool for the last year or so, kind of taking it more publicly to market soon, that allows investors to automatically know if a fund reports that their scheduled investments, which most do, here's how much of individual positions you own across your investments.
And what is the underlying technology behind that?
A lot of overlapping things. So like the most basic bits is we built our software on AWS, so it's scalable and secure. And then we essentially go out to hundreds of different portals on a daily basis, pull down all the documents that they post there. We pull information that's sent to us via email. And then when all those documents and emails go through our system, they're categorized, they're read, data is extracted off of those documents. And then that's where we can really start to differentiate, because once we have information in our system, we can send it downstream to your reporting and accounting system. We can display that information in ways that make it pragmatic and useful to you. We can send you a daily email summary of everything we've collected on your behalf. And we can summarize information and give you insights that are otherwise hard to obtain.
Can you give me an example of an insight that you can obtain through this?
Yeah, one of the recent innovations, it's probably our most popular product release over the last 3 to 6 months, is managers every quarter will send some kind of quarterly report or investor update. Basically being like, dear LP, in the fourth quarter, we invested in this, our fund is up 10%, and here are some of the other key macro, micro trends that are happening at our portfolio and in the world. If you're an LP in a lot of funds, you might be getting multiple of those documents all at the same time at kind of like this Q4 or Q1 reporting period. So now instead of having to go to the portal and get the document, or instead of Arch just delivering the document to you seamlessly, we now use AI to summarize those documents. So we'll give you in your daily Arch Digest newsletter, here's a paragraph that summarizes each of those investor letters and each of those quarterly reports. So now I, as the investor, or I, as the advisor, can very easily stay on top of my funds, get the key information as it's being reported in real time, and then easily be able to dive in and read more or dig into the whole letter if I want to, but at least be baseline knowledgeable on what's happening. And this is compared to the prior paradigm where we learned from a lot of clients we were talking to that they often wouldn't even read these letters just because they had to go to some kind of third-party portal to get them. So we're looking to continually solve the workflow issues that keep people from receiving and understanding their data.
I imagine there's some kind of natural language processing in the back there as it's parsing through, or rules engine that's parsing through all these letters and pulling out the critical details. How long did it take to build that?
Don't have an exact timeline for you, but we essentially built our own prompt engineering on top of some of the large language models that are available today. So there are other companies that have created these like really complex technologies that are really simple in the application and the ability to use them. And a lot of the thesis around Arch is we're going to do the hard work for you of getting all your information, structuring it, and displaying it in a way that's useful. And then we can leverage an LLM on top of your information in order to give you insights. And that's a paradigm that we can continue to build on top of leveraging simple tools on top of your data to make it understandable and useful.
So when you're taking, so which LLM did you use, or did you use multiple?
Use a few different ones.
And it's federated?
That question may be beyond my pay grade. So
I mean that you're sort of taking the best of, you have a layer on top that takes the best of those different language models and combines them.
I believe so, but that I can get more information on.
No worries. And you see, you built your own prompt engineering. For people who maybe don't know, what is that?
Yes. So if you were just to take a document and put it into an OpenAI or one of the other popular LLMs, you would get some result out of it. But if you, on top of these LLMs, dictate and kind of create a prompt of like, here's exactly what we want you to pull out, here's what we want you to look for, then you can identify key details or key things within those letters that are really important. So there's a lot of specificity you want to drive towards. Like, I want to know the buys and sells in the portfolio. I want to know how much the portfolio is up. I want to know what is the commentary on kind of macro or kind of what's happening in the market writ large. And I want to know if there are any personnel changes at a fund. That might be some of the like top things that I care about. And so we're actually about to come out with a second version of this, an updated version of our AI for investor letters that is going to call out specific sections in even more detail and actually allow our clients to customize, do I want the shortest version or do I want the longer version? And there's a lot more that we can continue to do as we build out that feature set.
That sounds excellent. I'd like to see how that works at a later date. We'll have to schedule that, a demo. That sounds interesting.
We can get you set up. We'll get you set up on Arch.
Excellent. Now, with the schedule of investment PE look-through tool, your portfolio analysis tool, all this rolls up into your platform.
Yes.
So what is the platform built on and how do clients access it?
They access it mostly through a web app today. You can do it on your phone, do it on the computer. And we put multi-factor authentication in, but essentially you go to your Chrome web browser or any web browser and access the platform. That's the main place that you access. Of course, there's the like what we send you via email, which is probably our most popular way of interacting with this data, just because it's like convenient in your inbox, everything you need to know and nothing more on a daily basis. And then a big part of the Arch story is this isn't just for a single user. You have different user roles. So you can say, hey, I'm an advisor. I need access, but my client needs access to a subset of the data. And then the client's CPA needs access to all the tax documents, the K-1s and 1099s that Arch collects for them. So that's a big part of our user access is being able to customize the permissions based on the user role and what people need to see.
That sounds really important for some of our enterprise clients.
Yes. And that's why we started to do more work with large banks, private banks, enterprise clients that have potentially thousands of different users that would need access to subsets of this information.
Indeed. One other thing you had described that you built is a capital call workflow engine. Can you talk about what workflow engine you did you build it on, a third party engine? Did you build it yourself? And what does this engine do exactly?
Yes. So this is something that we're actually building pretty heavily in this space because we continually hear from clients that capital calls and distribution workflows are one of the most painful parts of what you're doing today. So we have a very basic workflow tool right now for completing capital calls. We're working on a much more comprehensive version 2 of this. If capital calls are painful to you today, please send us a note. We would love to learn your perspective on what's painful and what you're looking for in a solution. We find that a lot of people today are running their capital call workflows across their email inbox. Maybe they have like a shared Outlook inbox. They might be exporting information to like a Salesforce, running different workflow steps. Then they might be uploading information into a performance reporting system or a GL. They're working with different custodians, different banks. They need authorization letters. And there's a lot of these discrete steps that can be centralized and managed much more effectively and efficiently. That's what we're building is tools for the advisor, tools for the client, ways to make it more comprehensive, and also ways to make it more secure because it is a big concern throughout the industry. Will I get fraudulent capital call instructions or send capital calls the wrong way? So we want to be part of that solution of making the payments within the private fund space and within the advisor space much more efficient and much more secure.
Yeah, it seems that way. From what I've heard, you know, clients of ours that are involved, there's a lot of paperwork and they usually wind up building multiple Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah, exactly. And the paperwork is a part that is like really core to how we think about our impact on the market. Like we want to make it so that you don't need a human in the loop to manage an alternative investment, which today you need humans all over the place. You need a human to confirm the wire instructions, to work with the client, to make sure cash is available, to set up the wire. And so there's all these different places that we could kind of think about more efficient systems and more automation long term.
Do you help the advisors help their clients come up with the funds to meet the capital call?
We don't today. it'll be probably part of this future build is being able to pull in funding sources to understand, okay, if I'm funding from this bank account or this brokerage account, do I have cash? Yes, no, or does the advisor then need to go raise cash? But not in the current state.
Oh, maybe I should back up a second. Could you just describe what a capital call is for anybody who doesn't know?
Yes, of course. So when you commit to any kind of private equity fund, we include venture in that definition. You have an upfront commitment. It might be $100,000. It could be $100 million if you're a large pension fund, and you don't fund it on day one. They might call that $100,000 over 3 years, and they'll do it in increments as they make investments. Part of this is they don't need all the capital on day one because they need to go out and find the right investments to make. So then when they find the investments, they'll say, dear LP, we're calling 10% of your capital. Can you please fund it in 10 days? 10 days is the typical window for funding a capital call. So you get that PDF, probably it's posted to a portal. You pull it down, then you need to go to your bank or to your advisor and wire fund. So there's a lot of different steps. And there's also this other part around making sure you have cash available for these capital calls. And cash flow forecasting is a big topic that we're talking to a lot of our clients around. So that's another area where if this is interesting to you, please let us know. We'd love to talk to you about cash flow forecasting. But you'll have, over the life of a fund, possibly 12 capital calls. It could be like 3 or 4 a year. Some are more, some are less. Some will use capital call lines of credit where they'll take out a loan against the LP interest in order to fund capital calls. Helps with returns, also helps with not having to call capital all the time. So there's kind of some ways that funds deal with this to make it easier for LPs, but typically you have quite a few of these capital calls. And talking to a large family office this morning, they said they have capital calls almost every day and always every week across their 150 or so funds. So these are quite frequent occurrences for family offices and RIAs.
And two terms we should also explain to listeners is the difference between a GP and an LP.
Yes, general partner is the person that runs the fund. You can think about it as the fund manager. It's the person at Sequoia that is making investments, is raising capital and orchestrating the fund's activities. The LP is the limited partner. They're the person that supplies, or person or institution that supplies capital to the fund. Once they make that commitment to invest, they have typically no interaction or no control over what investments the GP would make. And so that's why it's limited. And typically LPs pay some kind of management fee. Maybe it's 2% and some kind of carry, maybe it's 20% of the profits to the GP for all their hard work.
That is important to reward hard work.
It is.
Now, moving on to other areas of your platform. As you mentioned, documents, there's lots of paper documents, lots of PDF files flying around and lots of documents in these types of private investments. You built your own document management functionality. Why'd you do that? What'd you build it on, and how is it working?
Yeah, documents have been integral to us since day one. The first thing we built as a company was a solution for collecting all of your K-1s, storing them in a central document repository, and making them available simultaneously to the investor, the advisor, and their accountant. Then we started aggregating every private fund document from all the portals with the idea of most LPs and their advisors do not want to go to dozens or hundreds of different portals, so we can give you one platform to find all your documents. And then we just continue to add to that data set and that document set of the documents we pull. So now it's all your private investment documents. We're now also starting to store 1099s and pull 1099s from banks and brokerages. Because what we hear frequently from our investment advisor clients in particular, and also from our family clients, is they have multiple systems that they and their clients need to log into. And they ideally want to get that to one system. They want one login for all their documents. There are also some private equity funds that they in of themselves have multiple portals you need to log into to get documents from that fund. So at a minimum, we can move it so that all your private investment documents are in one place, but we can also move towards a paradigm where all your documents in general can be stored in a single environment and one that is flexible, searchable, easy to understand, so that you're not scrambling across the internet trying to find like, where's my K-1 or where's my subscription document. We can have it all in a like very logical database-led model.
How does this connect to your workflow engine?
So certain documents, when they're received, automatically kick off workflows. So when we get a capital call, then the user gets updated. Hey, you have a capital call for $10,000 due in 10 days. They get reminders on it. There's a task management workflow page within the platform, so you can track all those tasks in real time. And so it's all neatly integrated together, even to the point of as soon as I say, great, I paid that capital call, it's done. We'll take that pending transaction, confirm the transaction, reconcile the data, update the value in Arch, and then push that new value to our downstream reporting and general ledger partners so that when cash moves to fund a capital call or fund an investment, the investment value also changes at the same time. Really helpful for advisors, so then they don't have this like spiky loss of AUM when there's money in motion, and makes information more accurate for both them and for their clients.
That sounds awesome, because I've seen that problem firsthand, where the spikes hit, like, what is this? And no one seems to remember why that happened.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, this was the 3 days when money left our Bank of America account and went to Blackstone, but then we didn't get the statement for 45 days. Mm-hmm. So it's just missing. Yeah. So there's that problem of missing money quite a bit.
And in part of your workflow engine, do you have a dashboard that says, here, you've got 150 funds. Based on what we know about them, we're expecting documents from them every quarter. Here's your list. Oh, this fund didn't send you a form. It's, and then we flag that.
Exactly. And that's a huge part of what we do. So we do that for all the quarterly reporting documents, your financial statements, account statements, and investor letters. So you can see what you've received, when you receive them, when you expect to receive them, and what's missing. So to centralize that. The first thing we build on that side, though, is for K-1s, because K-1 chasing season now goes from January to October. So it's a big part of the year that people are looking for their K-1.
The K-1 chasing season.
Yes. We'll make t-shirts. And we put it all in a dashboard so you can see, okay, if I'm expecting 70 K-1s, I've received 62 of them, and here are the 8 that are missing. Here's when the fund manager told us, and we can use the collective intelligence across the entire platform of when I'm expecting to get those K-1s. And then Arch will automatically reach out for missing K-1s to make that part of the process much, much easier.
Do you reach out via email?
We do.
That's excellent. That's also super important, because no one seems to know how many. I'm surprised your family office knows how many funds they have.
For some of our clients.
Yeah.
Sometimes this is the first time people see their total committed capital, total contributed capital, unfunded commitments, and total value across all their investments. Because we essentially can aggregate up that view and show them, hey, you have 100 fund investments, and here's how it looks. One of our clients runs a private equity firm. And he was like, I'm a really great fiduciary at my day job. And I realized by being on Arch that I've made too many fund commitments, and I'm a bad fiduciary for myself personally. And that has helped him shape some of his behavior of how he invests over time.
What, have you seen anything crazy when you've come into a new client, then you start organizing all their fund data and all the information? They go, we didn't even know we had X, or we have too much exposure to this.
Yeah, there's a lot of data we can help people understand that they don't understand otherwise. One interesting one, going back to the look-through tool recently, is we were showing a client their look-through for the first time, and essentially saying, hey, like, here's all the underlying portfolio companies. They had one instance where they had invested in a fund that invested in a company, and then they directly invested in a company as well. And only upon seeing the look-through tool did they see that the fund had marked that particular portfolio company to zero. And they were holding it at a $500,000 position, and it actually recently reinvested. And so that gave them an insight on their portfolio that they otherwise would not have known. Right. So those are the types of, that's the type of data that we want to help our clients illuminate.
Oh yeah, that could be disastrous if you had that kind of mix up between different funds and different investments in the same fund in different ways, right? You're overexposed.
Yep, exactly.
Moving on to another area, private investment value for individuals. Now, is this the same as the AI portfolio analysis tool where you're reading the investor letters, or is this a different, reading different statements for individual investors?
I'm sorry, which one in particular?
The private value, private investment value for individuals.
So what you may be referring to is we have this value visual graph now. Right. So before,
yeah, the chart you showed me, right? The visualizations that comes from the other imported that other data.
Yep, exactly. So because we're collecting all your documents, because we're digitizing them, we can then allow you to see information in a visual and interesting way. So we can, for example, plot every increase or decrease in value for a particular investment relative to the statement that it came from. So if you're looking at your investments, you're like, wow, and there's a huge spike in value or a huge decrease in value. On that graph, you can click on the bubble. It'll take you to the document. You can see exactly what increased and why. And be able to easily dive into the information there. Essentially with the goal of putting data at your fingertips so that it's really easy to understand and easy to get back to the source document to make that investigation process actually feasible and doable for our clients.
So across your platform, you've got the comprehensive archive. So all your investment documents, all the history, all the investment updates, all the account statements, tax documents, capital call notices, blah, 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 all stored. You've got all that rolls up since you're scanning all that in, natural language processing, parsing it all out. You've got an aggregated portal where I can see everything in one place and everything gets updated in one place and you alert them in case something isn't getting updated, it should be updated.
Yep.
What about finding errors? So all these documents, you've got thousands, could be thousands of documents, but some of them might be wrong. I've seen issues where a report comes from a GP and there's the error and we don't realize it till it's already down the line. Do you have any way to check that?
Yeah, so we run hundreds of data checks on the information we receive to make sure that we're processing it correctly and to make sure that the upstream information is correct. So we can oftentimes spot that, like, okay, this doesn't make sense. Total contributed capital dropped. Why is that important? Okay, well, if I am just continually paying into an investment, the next statement should always show that I either have the same contribution or higher if I've made another contribution. So if it drops, that tells us that some accounting change or something isn't being calculated correctly. So then we'll investigate those errors. Another one that we see that's actually really important, especially for advisors, is making sure that all of your clients get the right tax documents and they don't get someone else's tax document. It's a huge issue for folks. And we have gotten the wrong tax document for folks before, for some like very secretive people that we probably should not have gotten tax documents for. So one thing we built for this upcoming tax season is EIN verification. What does that mean? It means that before, even after we receive a tax document, before it goes through our system and gets released to the end client, it has to pass a validation check where the last four digits have to match the last four digits in our system to be able to be sent to the end client. That makes sure that every client only gets their tax documents and that, like, if there are any of those upstream errors, the buck stops with Arch.
That's what I want to hear. If I'm a family office or, you know, ultra high net worth RIA clients, I want to hear the buck stops with you. I don't want to have to go hunting through different portals and through different systems and check with different vendors to get that information. I want it all in one place.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Well, there's one thing that I did find a little confusing is there's multiple firms with the word Arch out there. Can you tell people where they can find information about your firm, Arch?
Yes, we are arch.co, ARCH.co. You can find us on, of course, on Google, but on LinkedIn, and we're mildly on Twitter, although we could arguably be a little bit more active there. And if you have any questions, send us a note. You can contact us on our website. You can schedule time directly with our team. And we're excited to continue to solve problems in this space. So if there are things that are adjacent to what we described today that you're struggling with as a firm, we want to be the company that ships the most features and the most functionality into the private fund space to make it as easy as possible to manage and understand your alternative investments. And we want to be doing this for the next 25 years, if not more. So please drop us a line if we can ever be helpful to you.
That was one of the best summaries at the end of a podcast I've ever heard. Ryan, thanks so much for being here.
Of course. Craig, thank you. Good to chat with you.
All right. That's it. You've reached the end of another episode of the Wealth Tech Today podcast. Please go to our website, ezragroup.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage. Smash that button to subscribe to our newsletter. Once a month, you'll receive an email chock full of wealth management goodness, news, updates, information. You won't be disappointed. So thanks for listening and talk to you all again next time.